InvestTalk will begin in just a moment, made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And each month, Steve meets with a limited number of our listeners to review their retirement portfolios. Here's someone who offers some reflections on the process. Can I ask you, how did you think of your own portfolio at that point?
I would say my portfolio was a mess. It was more like a collection of leftovers. All I know is that it wasn't really growing, and I didn't know where to begin to fix it.
You can meet with Steve from anywhere in the USA via Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and then portfolio review. End of commercial, and now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to InvestTalk. It is Friday, December 9th, 2016. And, of course, InvestTalk is about the average investor and trying to improve that average, make them a better-than-average investor. Now, I thank you for entrusting this 1 hour of your day to me. I appreciate it. I'm here to help in any way I can if it's all about financial issues. And we're not always all about stocks and bonds. I don't want anybody to think that, well, it's all we can talk about. But I have a pretty strong insurance background and real estate background. Justin's a real estate agent, so, you know, we have a diverse background. So, you know, we can help you manage your assets. Successful investing depends on good money management from the moment you get that paycheck. Managing your assets, managing your spending and your earning income. Now today, since we get a lot of questions about gold, we're going to spend a few minutes kind of updating you on the current standing of gold and maybe what's next, what's driving gold, what doesn't drive gold, what might drive gold in the Trump presidency or not drive it. That's going to be our main talking point today. And since it's Friday, it's time to take a quick look at the newsletter, the weekly premium newsletter we send out to subscribers every Friday. And of course, I start with the current market condition section. And there was not a lot of economic news out this week. There wasn't. It wasn't like the flood we had the week before. And I just gave a quick rundown of the news we did get was pretty good. The market continued to rally this week, a rally that started with the Trump victory. We all know that, with very little bumps in the road. And again, it was up again today. So we looked at the strength of the dollar and what the ramifications are for foreign sales and earnings. And, of course, we talked about bonds and what's happening. You know, the bonds have been crushed since Trump election, meaning interest rates have gone up. And, you know, the Fed is meeting next week. There's a 90% chance of the Fed raising the rates. But is that already built into the market? Remember when they raised the rates last December, the market had the worst January in history, this January this year. So December last year, they raised the rates once in that year. And the market crashed. Will that happen again? Probably not. I've never known the market to do the exact same thing the exact same way. It just doesn't. I just don't know what it will do. But the Fed has a meeting. And remember they promised us 4 or 5 rate increases? Well, they didn't promise. They hinted at and pretty much convinced everybody there are going to be 4 or 5 rate increases this year. We haven't seen a one. Just like last year. They did the same thing last year. Haven't seen a one. So we're going to see one, just so they can say, see, we've raised rates. Then there's the stock market section. We shot, you know, stock idea section. Always give two different stocks or stock ideas in there. Also, the portfolio management section, we talked about present value of future cash flow. Do you know what that means? Well, we explained it in there. Why is that important? We explained that in there too. And of course, Consumer Watch. I talked about taking your young teenagers driving. I've done that many times for many nieces and nephews and how to be safe about it. That's kind of the premium newsletter. I think you'll like it if you get it. So if you want a copy or you want to order a subscription, it's like $10 a month. You go to investtalk.com, investtalk.com. That's where you can sign up. So what's your story? Let's open the discussion up to anybody who wants to talk about it. As always, we're up for any money questions. Let's begin with a Q&A. And let's go to our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hey, Steve. This is Raul Santos from Flower Mound. Calling with a kind of a question that may maybe silly. But my question is, when I'm investing, at what point do you guys have a specific number that you guys look at when you sell or take money off the table? Are you looking at a specific number, or are you looking at just your target point? For example, I've done investment with LYB on and off, and so I'll usually buy it around 70 or 80 and sell it when it gets to 100. Good company, good stock, and good values. And certainly that's what I look for at the other ones when I do this. Am I oversimplifying this? Is this the best way to do it? Just a question that makes sure that I'm doing the right thing. Anyway, thank you for everything you guys do. Bye-bye.
Okay, first of all, there's nothing wrong with trying to keep it simple. Trying to keep it simple as far as your trading, there's nothing wrong with that idea. But you are oversimplifying. For us, there's no magic number. Let's say we buy a stock and it goes up 20%, and so do we always sell it at 20%? No. We establish a value, okay? And we also keep looking and keep our eye on the economy. If a stock goes to value, what it's worth, we think what it's worth, then we keep a much closer eye on it, but we don't necessarily sell it. And I will say, though, when the stock does double, we tend to take some profits. And that's only because we don't want it to dominate the portfolio, not because it doubled. It's more a question of proper balance. So it's always difficult to know. There's no right answer to your question, just so you know. Other than, you know, some stocks you can hold forever. You know, your core holdings, you don't ever have to sell them. Don't worry about them. But most stocks, in my mind, are stocks to sell at some point. But it could be years and years and years. You know, I always like to talk about Warren Buffett, you know, and his philosophy is never sell. But, of course, he sells every year. He sells every quarter. He sells every month something. He sells. His philosophy is to buy a stock and hold it forever. That's the philosophy behind the decision making. That doesn't mean he keeps it. What if management changes and they do something stupid? What if a competition comes in and the new competition is far much better products. Warren doesn't just sit back and do nothing about it. Doesn't. An evaluation of the change in investment landscape for gold in the context of the election. Gold. So what's next for gold? That's one of our main talking points today. I want to talk about China. You know, China's always on my mind because it's a big economy, Europe and China. And I want to talk about their loans. You'll be really surprised to hear this. Well, maybe you won't be surprised. It didn't surprise me, other than the size surprised me, and I was just wondering how they were getting away with it, but now I know. Now I'm going to share it with you, what they're getting away with. ECB and tapering. Mario Draghi tapering their QE program. Well, did they taper it? He tried to talk like they didn't. Well, we're going to talk about what he really did, what he's really doing. And have you had the money talk with your parents or grandparents? Do you know how to approach it if you haven't? I bet you most of you haven't. Now, we've had it with my remaining father-in-law. My parents have passed and my mother-in-law has passed, but my father-in-law is still around. We've had it with him several times because, you know, we've had to. But how do you approach it? It's difficult. It is difficult. It wasn't hard for me, but they kept me, my father-in-law, so his children wanted to keep me out of it because they knew I'd be pretty harsh about reality. I like to live in reality, not fantasy. But it's a hard conversation to have, and I've got some hints to help you along that path. That's what we're going to discuss. What did the market do? I don't know, the big up day. It was a big up week. Dow was up 142 points, the NASDAQ up 27, the S&P up 13. The Trump rally is still in place, and I'm going to say this: it's running out of steam. It's running out of steam. The Trump rally, but I also think that when we do get the correction, whatever it is, it may not be big. It's a correction to buy, not sell. It's a correction to buy because, you know, there's various fundamental reasons. One, the fiscal spending. Two, the deregulation. These are all things he says he's going to do. And, you know, we talked about it on the webinar conference just recently. And There's some negatives, too. He is also saying he's going to be protectionist to, you know, so the meaning that he's not going to let foreign countries get away with what they were doing, whatever that was or whatever that is in his mind. So there's reasons to be cautious, but fundamentally, I think the fiscal spending, the tax cuts, and the deregulation are very positive for stocks. On the other hand, don't you love that when analysts say that or economists say that? On the other hand, stock prices are very overdone. They're overpriced, overvalued. There's no way that you can look at the stock market and say, hey, that's a pretty reasonable price for the stock market. No, it's overpriced. It's totally overpriced. And almost any way you can look at it. So, but don't think the market has to crash to correct that. It does not have to fall to correct it. It could, the earnings can grow. And we did see earnings turn around in this most recent quarter, finally, from the quarters before. So, you know, earnings can take off and therefore, and the stock price stays stable and therefore the valuation will be in a much better position. Now, that doesn't happen nearly as often as a market going down to correct the overvaluation. This is Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all about stocks or bonds. Any money question is on the table. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Listener line.
Hello, fellas. My name is John from Chico, California. I listen to the podcast. I own Holy Frontier Corporation, HFC. It's one-third of my portfolio, one-third, and I'm currently up 28%, which is pretty good. Wondering what you guys think, if I should hold on to HFC or maybe take some off the table. Again, Holy Frontier, look forward to listening on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Holy Frontier Corporation engaged in production of high-value light petroleum products such as gasoline, diesel fuel, and jet fuel. It's a $5.8 billion company, so it's a mid-cap stock. They don't have hardly any debt. Sales have been going down. They're just going down less, but they're still, last quarter, sales were down 21%, and it's been down every quarter for 2 years. They made 74 cents this year. That's what they're going to make, but next year they're going to make $1.98. Then again, last year they made $4.67. So you can see how erratic that is. Very erratic. Pays a 4% dividend yield. And it's had a very sharp move up from a basing of about $23, $24, and now it's $33. I would sell it back significantly because you don't want any stock to be one-third of your portfolio. That's too much. It controls too much of your assets, your wealth, your invested dollars, too much, because it can go down just as fast as it went up. I also would sell it because it's had a huge run in a very short period of time, and I get nervous when something like that. It will give back some of this gain. And it looks like, also on a chart, that it's going to hit resistance right around 35, 36. Right now it's at 33. So those are all reasons to cut back. Doesn't mean you have to get out completely. But it does mean you need to take some off the table because you have too much and it's run up too fast in a too short a period of time. Okay? That would be my opinion. HFC is the symbol. HFC, Holy Frontier Corp. Now, of course, Trump has been talking about becoming oil independent or oil independent, energy independent, that kind of thing. And so it's been pretty positive for this sector, the whole oil sector. But it's not going to last forever. Reality will set in. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's how you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Ed in Millbrae. How are you doing, Ed?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Steve. My stock is XPO. I have about a 75% gain. It's dropped a little bit today. And I was wondering about it because I have it in an IRA account or a Roth.
Uh-huh.
So you know, so I got about 300 shares, and
I think it's time to cut back.
That's what I think.
You have a very good gain. And, you know, looking at XPO, everybody, it's XPO Logistics. It's a very good company. It provides transportation and logistics services to customers in North America, Europe, and Asia. It's a $5.3 billion company. It lost 66 cents last year, 2015, and made it's going to make 97 cents this year and $1.71 next year. So the stock had a low of about 20 at the beginning of the year, and now it's at 48 because it's turned itself around. But the problem, Ed, at the same time, sales have fallen. Let me rephrase this. The growth of sales has fallen from 400% 3 quarters ago to 200% 2 quarters ago to last quarter to 57%. That's growth. So the growth is coming down. It's still growing. That's very good, right? Still 57%. But in the context.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. In the context that this is falling growth, that worries me. Okay, and it's right at where it was in 2015, the price, $48. And that's very expensive. We're talking about a PE of like, based on next year's earnings, which is very good, you're still talking about a PE of like 40, 45. So I would take, I'd be happy and take some off the table. It's still a great company, and it might keep going up, but I would sell back as it keeps going up is what I would do.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think I'll do. I'll probably just sell it because I won't. I'll just take the profit and then if it drops, I can buy it back.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. What other stock then?
Thank you. Appreciate it. XPO, everybody. One of the most difficult things to do is what Ed is trying to do, and that's sell when you have a big winner. People tend to sell their losers and then keep their winners until they become losers. People tend to, you know, hold on. When you have, this is what I've seen so many times. I've seen people buy a stock, it goes down. They wait until it gets even, and it keeps going down and down and down and down. Then they give up, then they sell it, then it starts to move up. Very common. You have to fight that resistance. We got to fight that. You got to resist those temptations. Let's go to Guy in San Jose. How you doing, Guy?
Hey.
How you going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I have a question. Just a quick question. What do you think about the future of bond? I'm going to hang up now because I'm driving, so I can listen to you, okay?
Okay. What kind of bond?
California bond.
Okay. Municipal bonds. Okay. Thank you. Municipal bonds. You know, you get they're very safe, so therefore, you know, you don't, if you're going to buy a bond, you can buy a municipal bond and be very safe. And if you live in California, it's double tax free. You don't have to pay state income tax on the yield or federal income tax on the yield, which means that they usually pay a lower yield because they know you don't have to pay any taxes on it, so they can get away with it. Right now, I don't think it's really advantageous because the interest rates are so low that they're paying so little that I don't find them attractive. Even though they're double tax free, I still don't find them attractive enough to want to own. That's my personal opinion. I don't mind them as far as for safety and diversification. I think that's fine. But I'd rather buy high quality corporate bonds in which I can get significantly more money. Yes, they are taxed, but if you're dealing with a, make sure you don't put municipal bonds in an IRA. Okay, don't do that because that's not tax-free already. Why would you do that? But they are safe if that's what you're after. But just not something I think would be a wise investment, municipal bonds right now. Right now. Not enough return. There are times when there are pretty high returns and you want to be in them, but not right now. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. We're going to talk to John in Santa Cruz. How you doing, John?
Hi, Steve. I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
My question is about Frontier Communications, if the dividend is safe, and if this would be a good time to buy shares of that.
Okay, Frontier Communications, and the reason why John is, you know, looking at it, they say they have a dividend yield of 11.4% or so. So you're saying, wow, that's pretty darn good. Provides local exchange, long-distance internet, network access, data services to rural communities in 28 states, a $4.3 billion company. And they lost money in 2000. They're going to lose money this year, and they're going to lose money next year. That's the danger. I think the dividend is not safe. I don't think they're going to pay that much. They do have a pretty good cash flow, but, you know, they're going to lose money. How are they going to keep up that dividend yield? I mean, they could do it, but the cash flow, I wouldn't buy it for the dividend. I would, if you're going to buy it, you buy it for a turnaround, not because of the dividend. That's what my thinking is. And it's a high-risk play. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, John. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's FTR, Frontier. We're open to your money questions or comments. 888-99-CHART. That's our number you can get through right now. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is InvestTalk.
Most professionals will tell you it's a good idea to review your retirement accounts, your whole portfolio, at least once a year. Steve can help a limited number of our listeners with this task. If you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting. And now, more Invest Talk. You're listening to Invest Talk for Friday, December 9th. And there are plenty of good reasons for owning passively managed funds, but that doesn't mean index funds are flawless or harmless. The hidden dangers of index funds. That's one of our talking points next time. 888-99-CHART is how to get your talking point to us right now.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Crystal in Redwood City. How you doing, Crystal?
I'm doing just fine, and I have a question for you.
Sure.
Would you recommend internal life insurance? Would you recommend term life or permanent life?
I would recommend term life insurance, term. Everybody else, there's several different kinds of insurance, universal life, whole life, and term life. Term life is much, much cheaper because it's just insurance. That's all it is life insurance. Term life is only life insurance. It doesn't pretend it's an investment. Whole life, universal life, much higher premiums because they're telling you it's an investment, when in fact it's very high cost investment. And if you take the difference, Crystal, from the term life premium to the whole life premium, take that difference of premium, put it in an S&P index fund for Vanguard, you'll be a lot farther ahead after 10 or 15 years. You'll be a lot farther ahead, much cheaper. Just my eye.
But even if you get the, you know, say you have $1 million coverage and you get $1 million back, that kind of stuff,
yep,
you would still prefer it.
Yep. It's my, they're not telling you the whole story, I guarantee it. I used to work for an insurance company in New York City. I know how they work. So, no, term life is better. Better deal. Thanks,
okay.
Crystal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Sergio and Milipides. How are you doing, Sergio?
Yeah, hi. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a question regarding the stock. It is a Twitter, TWTR.
Mm-hmm.
I purchased it around $50, I guess, but now after that it has been going down quite a bit, although it has a lot of user base. So what's your opinion? Should I, hold it for some more time?
I think so. I think you hold it at this stage. I mean, it was high as $50, okay, as you pointed out, and it fell down to about, I mean, it got low as $14 in May and June. And it's very erratic. If you've noticed, it's very erratic, and that's a problem. But I think, we're talking about Twitter, everybody, and everybody knows who they are. And they're making money. They're going to make 52 cents this year, share 61 cents next year. Sales are growing, even though sales growth has slowed. That's a concern. But I think you hold on to this. I think it'll easily go back to $25, easy. Okay, so I think you at least wait for that before you decide to maybe get out or take some profits or whatever. But I think it's at least going to back to 25. Okay, Sergio?
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate the call. I'm not big on Twitter. Twitter's not my favorite. Google's my favorite. Google, Facebook, Twitter. Google would be my favorite of those three. And I've mentioned it before because Google's business model attracts me more. They are selling, you know, traffic and selling ads for people who are searching for companies, whereas Twitter and Facebook, that's a social networking thing. And you're sticking in ads. And not that it wouldn't work, because it is working. I'm just saying that that's not my favorite way to invest in this kind of medium. I would rather do Google. Now, I don't own any Google. Don't. Not now. But that would be a preference of mine. Okay, China, it's been in the news this week. First of all, I read it in Wall Street Journal. China banks hide $2 trillion in loans. Okay, how do they hide them? We're talking about $1 trillion. China's banks. And remember how all that building and overbuilding they're doing and infrastructure spending they don't need and all that stuff? And, you know, all that is borrowed money to make those things. Well, this is how the banks in China are getting around the rules that the Chinese government has. And they give you an example in the article, which I think is really good. In 2014, the Chinese city of Hunan, on the mouth of the Yangtze River, set out to build a large apartment complex and turn to a bank, Nanking Company, for about $29 million in financing. Well, the bank, instead of calling it a loan, called it an investment. They call it an investment. It's not a loan. It's called an investment receivable. Kind of some kind of hybrid asset that doesn't show up on their books as a loan. There's $2 trillion of investment receivables by the four major banks in China. They're not loans. And they're building apartment buildings. They're building all kinds of things. And what this means, and if you remember right, a few weeks ago I told you that China has the central government is starting to make the banks take equity in place of loans that are turning bad. This is already equity. So this is going to be a problem. I mean, $2 trillion is not small. It's huge. Huge. And you add this to already bad loans on their books, on these bank books. And I mentioned that Chinese central government is wealthy, has lots of money. Everybody thinks China has all this money, spare money. Oh, wow, they got a lot. That's the central government. Not the provinces. Not anybody else. Everybody else has huge debt. And do you think the central government is going to let them default on that debt? That's why I think they're going down the path of Japan. Up to 1989, Japan was a huge grower, going to take over the world. And when things started to fall apart in their real estate market, instead of recognizing bad loans, they made strong companies buy bigger companies, buy the smaller, weaker companies, and made the bank take equity in place of the loan, bad loans. So the banks started to be owning, but it didn't solve the problem. It just transferred the problem onto banks' backs. And look what's happened ever since 1989 with Japan. I'm not saying they're going to go down the exact same path, because it never is the exact same path, but it certainly looks similar to me. Okay? Sometimes you need a fresh start, or at least a fresh look at your retirement planning. Is it still right for you and your situation? Maybe it's changed. Maybe your life has changed. Maybe things are just not the same anymore. So I set aside each month, as you know, time to meet with people one-on-one, offering second opinions or talk about the retirement portfolio and offering our services, or not, just talking to them about it. That's fine too. Some kind of solution to their problems. I'd be happy to do that. You can do it by Skype or telephone, and you can do it in person. I think I'll be in January 11th. I'm in San Jose, so I can meet with people then. I know it's Christmas season and, you know, probably the last thing on your mind, but For some reason, I'm getting a lot of requests. So if you want to meet with me, you want to set up a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab. Then portfolio review.
So how do you know if you're taking too much risk? The market shifts over time. Economic and political climates change. Your portfolio may be exposed to more risk than you know. One way to find out is to take our free risk analysis. You do it online on investtalk.com whenever you'd like. And that will give you a more accurate sense of just how much risk you're comfortable with. Then, if you'd like, the folks at KPP Financial can correlate those results with the risk factor within your current portfolio. It's all free, and it all begins at investtalk.com. Just click on the InvestTalk tab.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I just was calling in to get your opinion on if this would be a good time to get into a bond ETF, Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond, VCSH. Wanted to get your opinion and whether or not to go ahead and put some money in and what you think the outlook would be or hold off. Thank you.
Okay, VCSH, Vanguard Short-Term Corporate Bond, exchange-traded fund seeking performance of the market-weighted corporate bond index with a short-term average maturity. I'd like to know what the short-term means, 1, 2, 3, 4 years. What's short-term? I would say between 1 and 3 would be my guess. And as you know, the yield on this is 2.1%. And as you know, interest rates are probably going to rise. And when interest rates rise, bond funds, their NAV, net asset value, goes down. But if you have a short-term corporate bond, the NAV goes down much less when interest rates rise. It's a long-term bonds and bond funds that the value goes down, the NAV goes down faster and much stronger when interest rates rise. So you can see that this has had trouble. It was at 80.2 back in October, November. Today it's at 79. Can you buy it? Should you buy it? Well, it'll be a good diversifier. I don't care for it because you're not going to make a lot of money. I don't like bond funds. I like to buy the bonds directly, hold on the maturity, get the money back, the par value back, and so that you know exactly what you're going to get back. And when you buy a bond fund, you don't know. The NAV can go down because interest rate's rising. A short-term one, as I said, a short-duration bond fund is better than long, better than intermediate, and it's a good place to hide. I just don't think it's a good long-term investment. VCSH is what she was talking about. I have a question that came in from Daniel. And he said, I stumbled upon your podcast last week. I've been listening religiously. I really like to show and appreciate the insights. Question. I very recently took a position in Under Armour at $24.34. I missed all the hype. What are your thoughts on Under Armour? Symbol's UA, everybody. How long should I hold it? Any thoughts on UA in relationship to Nike and Adidas? And that's his question. So looking at Under Armour's UA. And UA, Under Armour came public not that long ago. I mean, really, it wasn't that long ago. May this year? Under Armour's not, it's pretty recent. Or it's been around a while and just started to trade on our exchanges. That's possible, too. Marcus Performance Apparel, footwear, accessories made from moisture-wicking synthetic fabrics. I have some of their stuff. I think that they got a good product. Sales are growing 22% last quarter, 28% the quarter before that, 30% the quarter before that. So it's growing between 20 and 30% every quarter for the last 2 years. Very steady. Earnings are going to be 60 cents a share, up 13% this year, then up another 15% next year to 69 cents. Very low debt. Strong company. Strong company. The issue is price. Now, it came out, it came out at about 40-something dollars, fell down to, $24, and now it's $28.81. It's coming back. I like the company. I like their products. I think, remember, they only make 69 cents. So they made 70 cents just to give a round of stuff. Now, 20 PE is $14 a share. It's 28. So 40 PE, based on next year's earnings, is what we're looking at. Why should it get that high of a ratio? Well, you can argue because it's growing 20 to 30% sales every year, every quarter. Not hardly any debt. Strong, strong brand, Under Armour. That's what you could argue. And you could say, and I would say, yes, but how much is that really worth? And I'd say it's worth right about where it's trading, probably. Doesn't mean it won't go up. I'm just telling you what it's really worth. If sales accelerate, then it's going to go a lot higher. But sales are not accelerating. They're usually around 20 to 30%. Pretty consistent. Last 2 years, every quarter. 20, 30% growth every quarter. I like the company, though. I'll say that. I just don't know if I like it this price. Under Armour. UA is the symbol. Okay. ECB tapering. Mario Draghi. I never get the name right, and I don't really care. Okay. ECB had an $80 billion QE, quantitative easing program, buying $80 billion of bonds per month. And they're going to he announced that they're going to move that down to $60 billion. At the same time, trying to convince everybody that really wasn't tapering their QE, when it really was. I don't know why he wanted to talk it down, but he was. But he did extend the buy-in program further out. In other words, another $540 billion worth at $60 billion a whack. Starting in April. So it is tapering, but it did extend the program. Because why? It really isn't working. If you looked at the EU lately, is it working? They've been doing this for a long time now. Is it working? Japan, did it work in Japan? The EU and Japan, both of them, are starting to move away from QE and want more fiscal stimulus, fiscal spending. Do you notice that we mean the U.S., is way ahead of the curve on this than they are? If you remember right, I don't remember if the history, but they started cutting QE way back when we were still expanding it. Then when we started cutting it, they expanded it more. Now we're raising rates and talking about fiscal stimulus, and they're not doing that yet. You're listening to Invest Talk. Our last segment is coming up. I bet you can give your call in if you want to. 888-99-CHART is our anytime listener line. We're here for you. So what's next for gold, everybody? Where is it going to go? And I wished I had a crystal ball and I could tell you, but no one really knows. I can tell you, I can give you the pros and cons, which I'm going to do here in a second. But one thing it is very good for is it is a good diversifier. In other words, gold has very little correlation with stocks and very little correlation with bonds over time. There's just no correlation. In other words, gold doesn't go up when stocks go up, and it doesn't go down when stocks go down. It goes in its own direction. It can go up when stocks go down, and it can go down when stocks go, it goes its own way. So, therefore, it's a very good diversifier in your portfolio. So, if you're scared of the market, this is one thing you can hold that would not go where the direction of the market necessarily. They diversify away from that. Now, so that's that one thing. But with a new Trump presidency, President-elect Trump, where's gold going to go? So far, the gold has been going down ever since he's been elected, while the dollar has gone up. And try to remember, focus on the dollar and its relationship with gold, and then focus on inflation and its relationship with gold, because those are the two major drivers of gold. When the dollar goes down, gold goes up. When inflation goes up, gold goes up. So ask yourself. And try to remember, everything is not about Trump's presidency either, because the dollar will go up and it trades against other currencies, so you can't ignore the other currencies. Is the EU, the euro going to go up or down in value? Well, what's happening in the EU right now? Not much. So there's not a lot of competition there yet, or Japan for that matter. But the bigger worry is, are the policies that Trump is going to try to implement inflationary? Will the protectionist policies that he's talked about, will those cause the dollar to go down? Or will it be stronger than the dollar? Most likely it will cause the dollar to go down. The market will probably be more volatile. The market will probably be more volatile in 2017. But if you're looking at gold, you're trying to determine what are the drivers. What are the drivers? And that has to come down to the dollar and inflation. We're starting to see just a little bit of inflation coming in. We got full employment, quote unquote full employment. We have supplies of certain things getting tighter. Still have too much of other things. But until we get the economy of worldwide to really start cooking, inflation's really not going to take off. It's really not. We'll probably have inflationary pressures because I've already seen it coming on the salary side recently for salaries, and workers are getting a little bit more money, So you're starting to see it come into play a little bit. So gold is a very good diversifier, and you probably should have some kind of gold exposure to some degree in your portfolio, but I wouldn't go crazy with it at this point. Let's go to Gull in Newark, California. Not Newark, New Jersey, but Newark, California. How you doing, Gull? Oh, we lost him. He wanted to talk about muni bonds. Okay, we won't talk about muni bonds then. We do have another caller on our listener line, so why don't we go ahead and take that?
Hi, Stephen and Justin. I love your guys' show. My name is Steve, and I'm calling from Oakland, California. I was wondering what you guys think about National Presto Industries, NPK. It's an aerospace and defense field, and I think with Trump coming in, that there's going to be more spending in aerospace and defense. So I have been in the stock. I'm currently up 8%, and I was wondering if you think I should still hold on for the ride or just get out. Thanks, guys. Again, it's NPK. Great.
Well, taking a quick look at it, it's a very, very small company. So it's one of those high volatility issues. I mean, it's a $700 million company that is a micro cap. Sales are erratic. So it's a question of, it's selling for $103, by the way, everybody. It's a question of if your scenario of spending is correct, manufactures ordnance-related products, and will it benefit this company? If it is, it probably still has some more run. I'd hold on to it. It's really a very pretty high speculative play. Our time's up for this hour. A reminder, a cornerstone of sound retirement portfolio management is an accurate understanding of risk. I didn't talk about risk today, but we need to continue to focus on risk. What's the actual risk of your portfolio, and what risk do you want to take? You can use our free risk analysis tool there right at investtalk.com. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everyone at KPP, thank you for listening today. We'll start a fresh week on Monday. Why don't you join us?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.